we're going to do a series within a series, and I don't know how long this is going to run, but it's something that the Lord specifically spoke to me when I was thinking about the sermon this morning, and I'm going to encourage you. Now, one of the things I think that maybe we need to explain, our ministry, we appreciate everybody that shows up, and we're grateful that you show up, and we like you to show up, but we're also talking to people on the radio. We don't know how many people listen, but we know several do, and then we're also able to minister through the internet. So we believe our ministry reaches beyond these four walls. If during this series you know of somebody that's struggling with sickness and disease, be bold enough to tell them to tune into these messages and listen to these messages. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm going to be pretty frank about some things and tell you that the general Christian church, the born-again Christian church, people that are going to go to heaven when they die. You listening to me? I'm talking about people that are going to go to heaven when they die because they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, have failed in the area of healing. We failed the world, and we failed the body of Christ, and mostly because of bad doctrine. Let's get started talking about the biblical solutions to the five problems that are common to man, and I promise you I'm going fast. The first one is, what's the first problem everybody has to deal with? Money. Is it better to have more or less? More. I'd like to have more and how to deal with the problem of having more than having less. I want to be able to give to people in Maui. Amen. The second thing we all have to deal with is what? If you're not born again and you don't know Jesus, you ought to be afraid. You ought to be afraid. I mean, we got people running our country that are clueless. And I'm telling you what they're talking about, sending another $13 billion to that Ukrainian dictator. Have you ever heard in your life heard of a war where nobody ever sees any pictures of it? And this thing about if we didn't stop him at Ukraine, he would go to Germany, I don't buy it for a minute. Tell you, man, they're gonna mess around. Now, Jesus is coming back. That's another thing the Lord told me. Jesus is coming back. And I don't think the church will be involved in anything nuclear. But if I go, all bets are off. I'm telling you, all bets are off. So anyway, if you're not afraid and you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you to get afraid. If you do know Jesus, you don't need to be afraid. Third thing we all have to deal with is relationships. And I gave my every two-year sermon about marriage. What are the three things married couples that need to agree on? Boy, if somebody could say these to me, it would really make me happy. What are the three things married people need to agree on?
Money,
sex. Woo! Household responsibilities. Teresa called them chores. We're assuming that it's a relationship between two people that know Jesus. But even if you don't know Jesus, if you're going to have a happy marriage, you got to know how to deal with money, sex, and household responsibilities. And the fourth thing that we all have to deal with is health. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to start a series within a series about health. And then the fifth thing everybody has to deal with is death. Maybe. We might be the generation. I'm telling you, we might be the generation that gets caught up to be with the Lord. We might be that generation. This AI thing is crazy. It's crazy. And it's biblical. And aliens, all that stuff. It's biblical. Going to be a reason why we're all gone, Jan. They're going to say, I knew that Mark Redding was a nut. Aliens abducted him. He went with the aliens because he's an alien. Well, I hope none of y'all are aliens. Amen. So today, we're going to focus our attention on health. And we're going to title our sermon, Christ the Healer. Say it out loud, everybody. Say it like it mean it. Christ the Healer. One of the most famous books in Christendom was written by a man, and of course I don't have his information, but you can download it or Google it, called Christ the Healer. It's one of the greatest selling books in the history. You know who it was?
E.W. Kenyon.
No. He didn't write this book. It wasn't. I love E.W. Kenyon, but he didn't write this book. He might have wrote a book with that same title. Okay. Anyway, it's called Christ the Healer. It's a famous book. It's about the fact, listen to me very carefully, it's about the fact that it is the will of God for you to be healed. It's the will of God for you to be well. It's God's will for the total man to be complete, spirit, soul, and body. It is an indictment on the church. It is an indictment on these multitudinal churches with these charismatic preachers and this dynamic praise and worship that they skirt around the issue of sickness and disease and send everybody to medical help. Now listen to me, I believe in medical help. If I broke my foot or broke my leg or had an emergency appendectomy and a doctor could fix me right up, I believe in it. But there's a better way. God's word is life to those that find it and health to all of their flesh. And the church has cowed down to the devil about this. And I've been going on YouTube and I've found some ministers that feed my spirit and help me spiritually. But it's so wimpy. It's so non-controversial. It's never offending anybody out in the mainstream society. It's always ooey gooey and, you know, somebody's got to stand up and announce that the leadership of our country is being run by the devil. You got to say that from the pulpit. And you can't worry about the fact that you might get down to 200 people. So what? If you got 100,000 people and they're not being told the truth, does it really matter? Can I get an amen? I was thinking about this, and the Lord instructed me to just take the Gospel of Matthew, and starting in chapter 4, we're going to go through all the times that the Bible talks about Jesus being Christ the healer. I'm not ready for that yet, Jordan. Talk about all the times that Jesus talks about or is identified as being the healer. And don't buy into the fact that it all passed away when Jesus died and the apostles died. That don't fly. That dog don't hunt. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he wanted the leper healed in Matthew chapter 8, he wants the leper healed in August the 13th, 2023. He didn't change, we changed. He didn't move, we moved. He didn't lie, we did. See, I'll take the heat, it don't matter. We already understand people aren't going to come and receive all this stuff. We know that. They're looking for somebody to make them feel better, to soothe their conscience, and tell them everything will be okay in the great by and by. And we don't need to wonder about the why and the why. So here we go. Jesus in chapter 4, Jordan is excited to get the verses up. In chapter 4, he has spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness without eating or drinking. How many of you women would like to run into your man if he hadn't had food for about 12 hours? They tell me that I'm in a bad mood when I'm hungry. Now, I don't seem like that's the way, but they tell me that's true. How do you handle a hungry man? Food. Anyway, for 40 days and 40 nights, he's been in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. Of course, he whips the devil, because greater is the God of the universe than the rotten, stinking, miserable, lying devil. And then he begins his ministry under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he begins his ministry, although, listen very carefully to me. Everybody that's listening to me by radio and internet, listen very carefully to me. He begins his ministry, and although he is fully God, did everybody hear me? He's ministering as the second Adam. He's ministering as the Son of Man, literally translated the Son of Adam. He's ministering under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. The Trinity abides on him and in him. And he comes into town, and you know he's got a little lamb on his shoulder, and he's just barely able to talk. You know, he's kind of a sissy. Is that what he does? And he says, I'm here to love everybody. Kumbaya. And Jesus, here's what he did. And Jesus, who is fully God, and fully man. Say that, everybody. Fully God and fully man. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Now pay attention, everybody. And this is what every church is supposed to have. Every church. First thing he does is teach, because that's the number one thing that's lacking in the body of Christ. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. You can't have what you don't know. I didn't have stuff for the great part of my life. Well, not the great part of my life. The first part of my life, I didn't have much because I didn't know much. I thought the world ended at the Marion County line. I thought if you got to Louisville, you were in the big time. I mean, Louisville, Kentucky, it was an hour away. You'd have to take, my grandmother would make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And you'd always have to pack a thing of water because the radiator would always go bad on the car. Can y'all remember that? I'd sit in the back seat and I'd say, there's going to come a day, bless God, when I'm going to buy me a Mercedes Benz. I didn't say that, but then I got some information. I found out that there's actually ways to create wealth in your life, and it comes by listening to God and working hard and doing the right things. It's not accidental. Don't buy into passivity. Don't buy into just whatever's going to be is going to be. Don't live your life that way. That's the failure of the church. That's the doctrine of the church that's robbed us of the power of God. So he went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching what? The gospel. Does anybody know what the gospel means? It's good news. He didn't go in there preaching wrath and condemnation. Quit that. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, that's what most of the evangelical revival church that's in America today is doing. They're teaching. They're preaching the good news. They're preaching the gospel of grace. But they put a period where the Bible puts a comma. My Bible has a comma after preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And after the commas, the word and. And is a conjunction. What's your function? Conjunction, junction. If you've got kids, you've been there, right? Have you? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel? The good news of the kingdom. God's not mad at you. God doesn't want to pour his wrath out on you. He wants to save you. I'm here to save you. I'm the Savior. And healing. Everybody say healing. Healing. Say it loud. Healing. Healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. How many churches you know of today this morning is going to do all three of those things? Some of them's going to teach, some of them's going to preach, but hardly any of them. And again, full disclosure, you know, we want to minister healing to people, but you know, most of y'all want to get out of here by 9:45. You listening to me? But it's part of the gospel message. Healing is part of the gospel message. Healing of the sick is part of the gospel message. Delivering people from oppression is part of the gospel message. And it's disingenuous. All this beautiful cathedral-like services that we have, and we leave people hanging when it comes to the things that matter the most. Amen. Because all of us are going to deal with something. Somebody said, "I don't have anything. Just stay alive. You'll have something." Amen. Something's coming. But the God in us is greater than whatever comes. Can I get a couple of more amens on that? Amen. People have run away from this truth. And the blood's on their hands. It's on their hands. I saw some guy I know, a good friend of mine. I'm not going to say a whole lot because I don't want to give it away. But he talked about how he was struggling so bad yesterday with migraine headaches. And I understand. I feel bad for him. It irritated me when I saw some of the responses from people that used to go to our church.
And their responses to him wasn't anything about healing. It was just, oh, we just feel so bad for you. We feel so sorry for you. That's all people want them to tell you. We just feel so bad for you. We feel so sorry for you. How about telling the brother, bless God, how about in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on you and rebuke that migraine off you in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, you can't do that. That might offend somebody. I put stuff on there and they don't ever respond to me. That makes me mad too. Hypocrite. All right. So after he's, by the way, this is not going to be the first time you see this. This phraseology in Matthew's gospel. So after he does all these things, he goes up and he preaches the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We're not going to talk about it and deal with it. And he finishes his discourse on the Sermon on the Mount, and they are amazed. The people are amazed because he's teaching as one who has authority. He's teaching as one who knows what he's talking about. He's teaching as one who is fully God and fully man and who is ministering and preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, you care about people's sicknesses. You care about people's diseases. You care about people's oppression. You don't just send them to natural resources. You don't just send them somewhere where somebody can deal with it naturally. You ask the Spirit of God to descend and come upon us and move among us. It's a disgrace. It is. I'm trying so hard to see the good in this mega church revival. I'm trying so hard. But yet I watch these things and I think he didn't offend nobody. He didn't do his job. Every Sunday, you better be offending somebody. At the worst, at least the devil. And at the most of the people. Yeah, Jesus went to his hometown and ministered, and they didn't receive him. They were offended by him. You know, he cast that devil, Matthew says there was two of them. Luke and Mark said it was one. The madman of the Gadarenes. You know, whether it was crazy mad, had 2,000 demons in him. Do you know Jesus cast the devil out of them? They went into a herd of pigs because Jesus was a Jew. And so it was all right if he killed 2,000 pigs. And you know what they said? Man, we want you to stick around. We want revival here. You know what they said? Can you please leave our region? See, truth received sets you free. Truth rejected offends you. So he comes down from the Sermon on the Mount. He's been teaching with authority under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 8, 2 and 3, Matthew 8, verse 2 first. And by the way, you can see my sheet here, right? Y'all think I'm going to get it done today? I'm going to keep this, and then I'm going to make you a lesson sheet. And behold, now this is interesting. We're going to learn so much through this about healing. And behold, a leper came. And by the way, in that day, that was a contagious thing. That was something you didn't want to be around, a leper. They would have to announce their presence and say, I'm unclean. Don't get around me. I'm a leper. And behold, a leper came, and he was smart. He was a smart leper. He came and he worshiped him. See? He worshiped him. That's important too. What's the motivation? Saying, listen to this, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Boy, that is a major question that needs to be examined. Because if we're doubting the ability of God to heal, then we no longer need to call him God. Because if we don't think God can heal, then he's not God, because God, by definition, can do anything. The fundamental question is, does he want to heal me? And oh, the lying, rotten, denominational Protestant church that told people that God was making them sick. Oh, that's a dark thing to tell people. That's a demonic thing to tell people. That's a terrible thing to tell people. And it's being told to people all over the world this morning that God made you sick. Jesus Christ couldn't stand in the presence of sickness and disease, because sickness and disease goes against everything he is, and that is perfect. And then that offends people, because then they say, well, if God's not making me sick, there must be other reasons. Yes, there is. It could be you. It could be the devil. It could be the atmosphere. Amen? Anybody have COVID during this COVID thing we had? Anybody get diagnosed with it? Heck, I got diagnosed with it three times. Two times, I didn't have anything wrong with me that I could tell, and they made me stay home for 2 weeks, and I lost my golf swing. That's why I'll never vote for them dudes. Took me 2 years to get my golf swing back. They wouldn't let you on the golf course. Oh, God, no, you can't come out here. You've got COVID. Second time they said I had it, Teresa gave me one of them things or in-home tests or I forget what the deal was. Still no symptoms. But by then I didn't care. I went to work. My girls are anti-sickness anyway. They didn't take any vaccinations or anything. They didn't care. Now the third time, I was sitting at a D-backs game watching the Reds play last year, Jordan. And I felt like somebody hit me with a truck. And I thought, ooh, something's wrong here. And I went home, you gave me one of them tests, and I guess I had COVID. You know what I did? I rebuked it. You know what I did? I rebuked it. And it took about a day, but after about a day, it's amazing with me, I can go to bed sick, physically sick. I've done this, I bet you I've done this, it's no exaggeration, at least 10 times. I've gone to bed sometimes at night with the chills and a headache or a runny nose or all the symptoms of the flu, and I've confessed that in the morning I'll be perfectly well, and I've got up in the morning perfectly fine. It's incredible. See, you know why? You know why? Is it because I'm spectacular? You know better than that. I'm the least spectacular person in this building. Are you listening to me? I'm the least spectacular person in this building, but I believe that God doesn't want people sick. It's that simple. I believe that God doesn't want people sick. Jesus said over and over, be it done to you according to your faith. As you have believed, so be it done to you. It's not up to God, it's up to me. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who know about healing. Anyway, nobody asked for that, and I'm not even sure that's ever been. Nobody will ever convince me that whole thing wasn't rigged. Nobody will ever convince me that whole thing wasn't rigged. Are you listening to me? But be that as it may, bless God. And let me tell you right now, let me get this on the radio and on the internet too. You know what they're talking about now? They're talking about remasking. No siree, Bobo. No, no, no. I'll go to jail for you'll put a mask on my face. And I think there's enough of us that'll stand up and do that. And the first time they tell us we got to close our business and stay home, we better tell them, you don't know what you're talking about. So the leper said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Look at verse 3. I don't want to do this because of time, but all the gospel writers have some different takes on it. Mark puts a word in here that I think is very important. But Matthew doesn't. It says Jesus was moved with compassion. I know we've all had this thought, God, you don't care about me. You just don't. I know I've had that thought. Because you walk by your feelings instead of the Word of God. The Bible says that in Mark's gospel, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. He put out his hand and touched him, saying, say it by these three words, I am willing. Now, let me ask you a question. Come on now. But let me finish the verse. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Let me ask you a question. Now, this is a leper, and he's a Jew under the old covenant. If Jesus Christ was willing to heal a Jew under the old covenant, is he willing to heal a new creature in Christ under the new covenant? If all these people were, these were not saints, these were not children of God, these were servants of God. They had a covenant relationship with God under the old covenant, and they were just like everybody else that wasn't under the old covenant. They were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in their heart, just like everybody else, just like the Philistines are, and the Russians are, and the Egyptians are, and the Scandinavians are, and the Swedish are, and the Americans are without God. We're all stiff-necked and uncircumcised. We are by nature children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, whereby he loved all those people I just named, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Do you think his attitude towards me when I have something wrong with me is, no, I don't want to heal you, but I healed that old boy back in Matthew 8. Somebody said, why has it gotten so far off balance? Because the people that I have connected to from an evangelical standpoint who are teaching the Bible, who are preaching the good news of the kingdom relative to salvation, don't teach it the same way relative to healing. And if you never write anything down I ever say in my life, write this down. Faith works the same in every arena of life. Faith for salvation works the same as faith for healing. Faith for money works the same way as faith for salvation. Faith for deliverance works the same way as faith for money. Faith works the same. You have to believe what God says and act accordingly regardless of how you feel. And the evangelical, Protestant, supernatural, 100,000 member churches are getting people saved because they're preaching faith relative to salvation, but they're not preaching faith relative to healing. Amen. And it works the exact way. Amen. If you have sickness in your body, you're to claim your healing. You are to believe the promise of God relative to healing, and you are to act healed even if you don't look healed. And don't tell me we know, don't tell me that we are saved even when we don't act saved, because I don't act saved most of the time. But you're not taking my salvation from me. I'm going to heaven. Flaws and all. Warts and all. But when it comes to healing, we see it physically. And I'm going to get to that story. It's in here. It's the healing of the paralytic. We're going to get to that. That's down in Matthew chapter 9. But to give you a little preview, Jesus, before the man got off the mat because he was paralyzed and four men brought him to him, before he got him off the mat from being paralyzed, he forgave him of his sins. And they all got upset and said, you know what, let's do that. Let's go over there. Let's go to Matthew 9:2-8, and this will be as far as we get. I got to show you this, because this is where it's wrong. This is why we, first of all, I'll give you the two reasons. Then behold, here's Matthew 9. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Now listen to me now. Listen. Gosh, isn't this going to be fun? This is a series within a series. And I'm just starting. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Listen to this. Watch this. Say these one, two, three. Say these five words. When Jesus saw their faith. Now listen. Again, I know the Gospels. I don't think Matthew goes into detail about it. Luke and Mark do. These four guys bring this guy on a mat. There's a multitude in the house because people will come to get healed, right? That's the calling card that we need. We need manifestations because people will come to be healed. And so they can't get in the house. So 21st century theology, they can't get in the house, not enough room. So a minister would be standing outside with a collar on, and he'd tell them, well, now it's just not God's time. Y'all come back later. You know, he'd tell them, you know, you just never know what God's going to do. You tell that paralytic, you go back and get cleaned up. Get all your sins dealt with. Man, you'll never get anything from God if you're waiting to get all your sins dealt with. Because anything that's not of faith is sin. And most of everything I did yesterday wasn't of faith. So it's got to be grace. It has to be. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about ministers. I guarantee you, I'm watching these people on TV minister, and I can tell you by the way they minister, they're dealing with things on a regular, consistent basis that's literally sin. So that can't be it. You can't wait till you get all cleaned up. You can't wait till it's God's time. You can't believe the lie that God made you sick. You can't believe that. Here's the thing that really disappoints me the most is that these people appear to really love the Scriptures. And how you can really love the Scriptures, and all I'm going to do is take you from Matthew 4 to Matthew 15, and if you can't see the healing power of God all over those verses in the Bible, there's something wrong with your wronger. There's something wrong with your receiver. It's Christ the healer. Say it, everybody. He's Christ the healer. So what's it mean Jesus saw their faith? Them boys said, wait a minute now, and I'm going to find this out in heaven. I'm wondering if those four boys brought him because they was tired of having to haul him around everywhere. Hey, there's a man that can heal you. We're going to get you on a mat and we're going to take you and get you healed. You know what they did? They got up on the roof and let the towel out and dropped him down in front of Jesus. Dropped him down in front of Jesus. I just thought of something else. You know, there's actually ministers that would say, "Now, what are you doing? Don't you know who I am? I'm in here ministering. You're disrupting my service." Oh, some of these televangelists, oh. They've gotten too full of themselves. Are you listening to me? It's easy to do. It's easy to do. People love to worship other people. Why do you think there's going to be 50,000 people watching pro football on Sunday morning? Because they're worshiping that quarterback. And thank God I got a good one to worship. His name's Joe Burrow. Amen. Why do you think we're going up to watch the Reds play the D-backs? Because we like driving in that traffic. Is that what we want to do? So why are we doing that? Why do we want to do that? I want to go back up there and sit behind the dugout and make fun of Joey Votto. Tell him, retire. You're old and you're done. Give your position to somebody else. Think about these celebrities that we make heroes and they're reprobate. They're immoral. And we're the first ones in line to go see what our next movie. I was watching a minister, and the reason I'm going this direction, I was watching somebody this week and he was talking about, he was trying to correct and coordinate how he wanted people to come to receive their healing. Jesus didn't do that. All he was looking for was faith. These boys dropped the towel off the roof, dropped him down in front of Jesus, and Jesus, when he saw their faith, that's what's wrong. That's why we're not seeing healings in the church. We don't see any faith. Listen to people talk. Ask them what's going on. All these Christian songs on the message, on the radio, all of them. And again, people that love God, but one song is, "My pain, your gain." That's stupid. God don't cause pain. God put all your pains on Jesus. Surely he has borne our pains and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God. I'm telling you, man, that is, what's the word? That's blasphemy. That's blasphemous. My pain, your gain. And everything that's happening to them, God's got them going through it. No, he doesn't have you going through it. He wants you to get out of it. You've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. It's the easy way. It really is, folks. It's the easy way. It's the no responsibility way. It's the that woman you gave to be with me way. It's the Adamic nature way. And people hate us for this. They hate us for this. This is why we had to do what we did. Let me say this to you. And all you people that are listening by radio and internet, the finances have always been here. God's always got us the necessary finances to keep telling people that Jesus is the healer and he didn't make you sick. Get off your high horse. Quit making yourself part of salvation. We had a lady here that she didn't want to get healed because she wanted everybody to feel sorry for her because she had something wrong with her. That doesn't glorify God. I'm getting ready to show you what glorifies God. When you bring a man on a mat that's paralyzed and he walks out of there with his mat tucked under his arm. And again, I'm good at preaching it. I'm good at it. I'm anointed. God spoke this to me in my bedroom Thursday night. And he told me a couple of things. First thing he told me, he's never told me this before in my lifetime. Never in my lifetime. He never told me this. He said, I'm coming back. And that was like, whew. He said, I'm coming back. But he said, I want you to teach healing. I want people to know I'm the healer. Tell them who I am. Tell them I'm not making them sick. Tell them I'm the healer. Christ is the healer. And tell them if they'll receive it from their heart, if their heart will hear it, they can be healed without a hand being laid on them. You can get healed without one hand being laid on you if the message of healing hits your heart the same way that the message of salvation hits your heart. When you realize that Jesus died for your sins, you were saved. If your heart realizes that himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and that hits your heart, you'll be healed. And I'll tell you when you know you got it. I'll tell you when you know you got it. It don't matter when the manifestation comes. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make a bit of difference in the world. Just like it don't make a bit of difference in the world if you don't think I look saved or act saved, I am saved. Because God said I'm saved. I may not look healed, I may not act healed, but I'm healed because God says I'm healed. And we need an army of ministers to be raised up that know what I'm talking about, and very few people do. Less than 1% of the people I've associated myself with have any understanding of what I'm talking about. I have the great ability to share it and to minister it, but, you know, the manifestations of what I talk about don't seem to be that prevalent. But it's not going to keep me from telling you that Christ is the healer. So he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Say that, everybody. Don't you know he's had some dark days? Don't you know this paralytic had some dark days laying in the bed at night, dark, empty, cold, can't get up out of bed. Somebody's got to feed him, take care of him, bathe him. He's paralyzed. He says, son, be of good cheer. He says, your sins are forgiven you. See, here's the other thing that people don't want to hear. It's not God's fault. Say that, everybody. It's not God's fault. Was it this paralytic's fault? Maybe not specifically, but generally the reason why he was paralyzed is because sin came into the world through the devil. We're just getting started. Amen, we're just getting started. See, if we owned the building and we had revival in our hearts, we could stay all day and teach this, and then we could have ambulances pull up and we could get people healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be cool? But heck, I've got people that come in here. We got people coming here. They're sick and we minister healing to them and they look at us like a cow at a new gate. Like, what in the world is he talking about? Isn't that terrible? That's an indictment on the church. It's an indictment. Verse 3. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. Oh, there's always some religious zealot that's going to accuse you of being a blasphemer. Again, if everybody likes what you're talking about, you're not talking about the right thing. It's the truth. It's absolutely the truth. Verse 4. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Verse 5, Jordan. For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk. So, Teresa, let me use you for an illustration. This is so cool. So, Teresa comes to church, and she doesn't know God. She doesn't know the Lord. And she comes, and she hears me preach about Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit touches her heart. And an invitation's given. And I say to her, I say to the crowd, I say, listen, if y'all been listening by radio or internet, I'll do this now. We'll get this done. If you're listening by radio or internet and you don't know the Lord, today's your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's never too late as long as you're breathing. Once you breathe your last breath, it's over. But it's not too late. You're breathing. And it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As many as received unto them, he gave the right to become children of God. And Teresa hears that message and she says, I want that. I want to go to heaven. I want to believe in Jesus. So I give an altar call.
And here she comes. Come on down. And I lead her in a prayer of salvation, and she prays the sinner's prayer, and then I have her turn around and say, thank God I'm saved.
Thank God I'm saved.
And everybody says what?
Amen.
Now let's look at her. Now first of all, let's talk about a couple things. First of all, she's real pretty, ain't she? She's awful pretty. I got two beautiful daughters. Me and Jordy, we got something. Now I want you to see this. So she turns around, and she tells everybody, thank God I'm saved. Now let me ask you a question. She went from here to there. Does she look any different? Now she's crying, so you think maybe something happened to her heart. But you can't no more tell whether or not she's saved than a man in the moon. You got to do what? You got to take your word for it. Amen? You can't see it. Now every solid, biblical, foundational, evangelical, charismatic church, that's how they minister salvation. And then, of course, another thing they're real big on is baptism. Boy, they want to get you dunked. They want to get you in that swimming pool and dunk you bad. I believe in baptism, but I want your heart changed before you go get baptized. We all announced, thank God somebody came down and gave their life to Jesus. Let's give her a hand, everybody. So now, who wants to come in and be crippled this morning? Anybody wants to be crippled? Now the minister, man, you caught a once-in-a-lifetime preacher. And this minister puts up 1 Peter 2:24. Jordan, he puts up 1 Peter 2:24. I got to hurry up. I minister 1 Peter 2:24, and it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Matthew 8:17, and I preach about healing, that God wants you well. And Donnie's sitting out there. And let's just do this. Donnie's sitting out there, and you got a bad leg. So you got to hop up here like you're bad leg. So I get done preaching, and Donnie says, you know what? Jesus Christ doesn't want me hurting. He took my pains and carried my sorrows. And by his stripes, I am healed. And so the minister gives an altar call and says, if you're struggling with sickness and disease in your body, and this is for anybody if you want it right now, if you're struggling with sickness and disease in your body, come on down. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to minister healing to you this morning. And I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, I'm going to let you know that just like you got saved by believing, you receive when you pray. You're going to get healed by believing you receive when you pray. Amen. And so in the name of Jesus, we're rebuking that symptom. We're rebuking what problem he has in his leg. And we're speaking healing in that leg in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing in that leg now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but now we believe he's healed when we pray. And all the church said,
amen.
So brother, you're healed.
Amen.
All right, Tracy, you stand up here. You come back. Come back. Come on back up here. Donnie, get back up here. Come on, I want y'all to see this. No, no, come on, now play along with me. Everybody, this is really real. Stay there. Teresa says she's saved. Make everybody be honest. You're going to be honest. Everybody be honest. Teresa says she got saved this morning. What's everybody going to go home and say? Or at Mandalay or Cafe Olay or wherever we go eat lunch? What are we going to say about church this Sunday?
Thank God, Teresa got saved.
She goes and sits down. Teresa got saved. But boy, that old Donnie, first of all, I know him. And I don't know. He walked back to his chair. Listen to me now. He sure did look healed. Well, let me tell you something about my sweet, precious Teresa. She didn't really look saved. Because what's it look like to be saved? That's what Jesus was saying. It's real easy to tell somebody their sins are forgiven. It's easy for these mega churches to have people come down and say a sinner's prayer and then baptize 4,000 of them and say they added that many to the church. That's real easy. But poor old Donnie, what was the little boy called in the Christmas story? But poor old Tiny Tim, he still got that little crimp in his leg. Same principle. Faith works the same in every arena. You're saved by faith. You're healed by faith. You're set free by faith.
And faith calls those things which be not as though they were. But again, it has to hit your heart. It's not with the head, one believes. It's with the heart. And if we would, I've said this over, Brian will back me up on this. If we would preach the way I'm preaching on a regular, consistent basis every Sunday, healing would be as easy as getting people saved. It would be. It would be. Because we would ignore the circumstances and we'd go home and say, boy, wasn't that Donnie boy got healed last Sunday. Praise God. I sure am glad. Now maybe he can start working. So let's finish the story where we leave off. I'm going to quit. Matthew, this is what he meant here. Verse 5. Now you see what he says? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise and walk? You understand? They wouldn't know if that boy's sins were forgiven. Verse 6. But that you may know. Oh, catch this now. We're going to close with this. He does not call himself the Son of God. Although he is. He's fully God and fully man. But that you may know that the Son of Man, the Son of Adam, that you may know that we have power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. What did that take? Courage. Now, he was God manifested into flesh, and he had the Spirit without measure, and he didn't have anything on his conscience that was bothering him. I mean, I minister to people, and the whole time I'm ministering, I'm thinking, man, I'm not qualified to be doing this. Jesus never had that thought. He always did what pleased the Father. But see, we got to overcome that. We got to minister anyway. We got to press in anyway. If you're waiting to be a perfect vessel, you'll never do anything for God because you'll never be perfect. Never. 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 You'll never be perfect. You have this carnal, sinful nature on, and your mind is not completely and totally renewed. And so during a day's time, you're going to have some thought that's not godly. You're going to have it. Verse 7, and he arose, and Matthew is so matter of fact, I love his gospel, but he gives you no detail. He just tells you what happened. He arose and went to his house. Mark tells you he arose. Luke tells you he arose. He took that mat, put it under his arm. Boom. What's verse 8 say? Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Golly Molly, we got communion. Stand up on your feet. Praise the Lord. Y'all are looking at me like, that means y'all liked it though. Because y'all weren't pointing at the communion cups. Listen, this series that we're on, if you know somebody that's struggling with sickness and disease, get them to tune in by the internet. Be bold. Tell them to get the internet on. www.lifeinchristchurch.net. If you'll receive these things with your heart, healing will manifest in your physical body. This bread represents that glorious, holy, sinless body that was broken for us. Remember that? Amen. This is my body, Jesus said, that was broken for you. God cares about every bit of us. He cares about us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, economically, oh man, every lee you can think of, he cares about it. And it was all taken care of on Calvary's cross. It was all taken care of. There's nothing else that God has to do. All we have to do is believe what he's done. That's the truth. And there's less than 1% of all ministers in the world know what I just said. It's already done. You don't have to beg. You don't have to bawl. You don't have to squall. You simply have to accept what's already been done at the cross of Calvary. It is finished. So hold the bread up and say, Dear Father, I honor Jesus today by confessing with my mouth because I believe in my heart that I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, that my mind is renewed and restored and functioning with joy and peace in the Holy Spirit because the chastisement of my peace was placed on Jesus. I'm whole in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This cup represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious, uncontaminated, divine blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you're saved. You're not saved because some man's blood was spilled for you. You're saved because God Himself shed His blood so that every sin ever committed, past, present, or future, would be forgiven. And everybody can come and be a member of the family of God and have heaven be their home. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hold the cup up and say, Father, this blood represents the remission, the removal of my guilt conscience. I am no longer conscious of sin in my spirit. My spirit's been set free. In the name of Jesus, the freedom in my spirit, I release into my mind, into my emotions, into my will, and tell it, and tell them, you've been forgiven. God's not holding your sins against you. In Jesus' holy name. Oh man, you talking about revival coming down. If we got a hold of that and that hit our spirit, man, and that hit our minds, you talking about amazing things. Oh, Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share this truth. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Receive the bread and the wine in Jesus' name. Lift your hands up to heaven without wrath or doubting. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Walk out of here today as a free person. Live as a free person. Love as a free person. Work as a free person. Give as a free person. Freely you have received, now freely give. Heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers. In the holy and glorious name of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And let the church say,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.